B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It is the 4 o'clock hour. Yes, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. You can check them out online at landisbc.com. We're doing the show live from Hooters today. There's a day Philly baseball game on, which is on now. So we'll give you the updates if you're tied into the result. It is a monumental broadcast because Giants' John Kruk's last one of the season.
Aww. Yeah,
no Krucker for the weekend.
He's shutting it down. He's going back to Florida. So you'll have Big Ben Davis for the final three games of the season.
So real fast, I know you're going to. We're talking Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They're 500 right now. I think they lose today. They go one game under 500.
Yep.
Do they win the two of three necessary to finish 500, or do they end up with the same record as last year and be one game under, or do they lose out and finish worse than last
year?
They
win two at least.
Two at least.
They could sweep the Marlins.
You think so? Because those Marlins players probably are even less interested than the Phillies players.
And you know Kapler is gunning for a sweep, so he'll pull out all the stops, Tyrone. I mean, if he has to use a relief pitcher in a second, he's going to bring him in.
So you wouldn't
he
be shocked
W's.
If you got a five-hour, nine-inning game to try to save
his
job.
He's going to manage this like it's the seventh game of the World Series, which he'll never get to.
Okay.
Devin in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah.
Or is this Devon?
Oh, hey, fellas, got the
news. What's up, man? How you doing, Devon?
It's Amon. Hey, I'm good, man. I just want to talk about a couple of things real quick. I believe that the Eagles will win. The reason why I believe that is because we haven't been playing the Philadelphia ball for none of the season yet. I know we've been missing players, some guys that hurt. And so I believe it's
more. What's Philadelphia ball? What is that exactly?
Bully ball. Man, listen.
Bully ball?
Bully ball. That's us, man. We bullies.
When's the last time we were bullies?
Super Bowl year, but he's bully.
Oh, yeah, 2 years ago. This team look like a bully team to you?
No, not right now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We're missing some players. What we're missing is our older guys, right? Our leaders of the team, Deshaun Jackson and them. It wasn't there. So we're missing the leaders right now. As soon as they come back, everything's going to fall in place.
Well, we're talking about tonight. Now, they got Jeffrey back. Is that enough?
Yes, it's enough. Now, Wentz have a guaranteed target he can rely on besides Hurts. Take the press on Hurts.
He's also on a pitch count. Alshon Jeffrey's on a pitch count tonight, coming in from an injury. Won't be playing every play.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, they better get the ball to Jordan Howard. Run the ball.
What are the chances they do that? See, I'm in agreement with you. And I'm about to cite some stats in case you weren't listening in 2 o'clock hour. Some stats would indicate that that's what the Eagles should do tonight, run the ball. Do you actually believe they'll do it?
Do I believe it? Yes, I do. Because, again, I think, remember what happened at Super Bowl year? Doug had listened to us a couple of times, listened to the fans. We kept on.
He actually did. You're absolutely right about that, Devon. So that's a decent point that when people, and coaches don't like to admit this, but when people flow a certain way, they kind of do listen.
They do. You're right. They respond to public opinion. That's why it's so important for fans to stay engaged and not just go, whatever.
All right, so the numbers that we're talking about, the Packers have not been strong against the run. They are 26th in the league. They're allowing almost 5 yards per run. And they're 25th in allowing yards rushing per game. They allow 131 rushing yards per game. Now, I don't know if this means Miles Sanders gets more touches, but you can't really do that, can you? So you have to go with a more reliable attack, and that is maybe you simplify the game plan, and you're not going to have him come out of the backfield, streak down the field, catch passes, but he can carry the football in volume.
He can, and also that limits the amount of touches that Aaron Rodgers gets. It limits
and control the clock, control the game, run more plays than they do.
Now, we have NFL Network on over our shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Devontae Adams, everybody's afraid of him, and I understand. They have a stat. He has zero red zone targets this season. You got to imagine that might change tonight, huh?
Well, we'll see.
Maybe that helps, though. Maybe if they can't get the ball to him, if they're not hooking up, that's another opportunity for the Eagles.
Yes. Now, the thing I think it will be the telltale sign of that, if they don't run Jordan Howard in a game like this, where all the factors lend itself to, like, they can get an advantage, then you know what's up.
Then they just don't like him.
They don't like him.
Sanders will be the running back, yes. And that's just that.
Yeah, and if they don't like him, that's been a terrible misjudgment. That's a misjudgment akin to relying on frickin' Eflin and those three guys.
No, you're absolutely right, and that falls on
Velasquez.
Howie made that deal. That's Howie, the coach.
Let's go to Eric in Trenton. Eric,
no.
What are we doing?
Mavs.
What? Oh, Sim's here. Oh, yeah, it's right on the screen. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the man, he's directly calling from Lambeau Field, I think. He's at the ballpark right now. Tim McManus covering the Eagles for ESPN.com, brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice. For accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. Timmy, how you feeling out there today?
It's a beautiful day in Green Bay, Mike. I am reporting here from Lambeau Field, looking out right now from the 7th floor window. A nice tailgate going on, a bunch of Eagles jerseys I see across the street. You know, this field is like smack dab in the middle of a residential, development. It's unreal. So it's just like house, Lambeau. It's such a unique experience, it's like 56 degrees and sunny, beautiful day for some football.
All right, let's get into what they now have to do to win this game. And whether we were just talking about the numbers favor you can successfully run against the Packers. I have no idea whether they're going to do it or not, but what do you think? Will there be any difference in the game plan to get this offense going?
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, if you look at what the Packers are giving up, it's about 130 yards per game on the ground. That ranks 25th in the NFL. And one of the reasons for that is they often deploy multiple defensive back looks where they're running like six defensive backs out. They like to get multiple in that way. But that does allow some room in the ground game. And I think that absolutely the Eagles should lean on that and give what the Packers take them here. And I think in particular, this is a game where Jordan Howard would be well served to get some reps. I mean, he has experience playing at this venue, formerly a Chicago Bear, so he knows the deal. He's a veteran, and I really think this needs to be a mistake-limited game. We've seen too many rookie-like mistakes, including out of the rookie, Miles Sanders. I think this is a great time to deploy Jordan Howard.
So you think they'll go away maybe from Sanders a little bit more tonight and maybe get Sproles more engaged?
Well, that's what I think they should do. But we've also seen that Peterson certainly has an affinity for Sanders, and while it's understandable, you don't want to, give him the bad thought of, okay, you made a mistake and we're going to limit you now, but this is only his second professional game on the road, and he has had some mistakes, whether it's the fumbles that you saw last week or not hitting the hole properly the week before, and this is going to be one of those games that if the Eagles are lucky, it's going to be tight. I mean, so they have to lean on veterans, I believe, in this game.
All right. Also, Green Bay's linebackers have been weak in coverage. So if you're going 12 personnel, that favors you running the football 12 personnel. It also favors you getting two tight ends involved in those underneath routes. So could this be something we see also?
I believe so. And, last week they didn't think that they were going to have Dallas Goedert. It was a little bit of a surprise when they tested him pregame and decided that he was going to play at least in a limited capacity. So he wasn't in the game plan, but this week he is. And that way they're going to be able to deploy more 12 personnel than we saw in the last game. That means better running attack, you would think. They've been having success in that look on the ground. And, I think that's the perfect type of look against this Green Bay defense.
All right, what might we see here? Now, the Eagles are now in an underdog situation, which is something they've relished in the past. Also, no one really expects them to win this game, and usually when that happens, they snap back and win. But logically, do they have the skill to pull this off tonight in light of the fact that their weaknesses have been not getting to the quarterback and not covering, and they're playing against Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I think the first thing you think logically is that, all right, it's a 3-0 team versus 1-2 team. It's a tough turnaround on Thursday night to travel to Green Bay and try to pull it off in this venue. But it's not to say that the Packers are a juggernaut, particularly on offense. They've gotten out to a pretty slow start. One of the reasons for that, in my opinion, is that the skill position players around Aaron Rodgers are not great outside of Devontae Adams. So I think that they can limit what Rodgers and the Green Bay attack does, and that's going to be somewhat dependent on finally generating a pass rush and for Fletcher Cox to start looking more like Fletcher Cox. If you can get into that type of scenario, then yes, I think this is one that you can keep close. And that with the return of Alshon Jeffery, it gives Carson Wentz a fighting chance, to do some things. And so this is going to be one that's tight, Mike, I think. And I do believe, given the psychology of this game and the fact that the Eagles are desperate and that they are in that familiar, comfortable underdog role, they do have a shot to win this game.
All right. So is it realistic to think that this defensive line is going to be different tonight? And if not, what does Schwartz have to do to compensate for that?
Well, Fletcher Cox is such a key to whether this season can be salvaged. I mean, and they have been receiving kind of positive reports. I know Doug Peterson is feeling good about where he's trending, but we haven't seen that really take hold on the field quite yet. It's a favorable matchup, Fletcher Cox against this guard. He can make some hay in this game. If he cannot generate a pass rush, and if the defensive ends aren't able to do it, then Schwartz is going to have to get into some uncomfortable territory. You know, he usually blitzes about 18 to 19% on average, but this year it's been up towards 25%. He hasn't been able to get that organic pass rush and has to get out of his comfort zone and get those blitzes. And frankly, he's not that great of a blitzing defensive coordinator. So they could really, especially going up against a guy as talented as Aaron Rodgers, they could really use for that front four to finally round into form tonight.
I'm getting the sense you kind of like him tonight.
You know, I do like him a little bit. As we know, the season rarely unfolds the way that we projected to. And I think everybody had the W for the Detroit game and had the loss for the Green Bay game. But things don't always go the way that you expect them to. And I do think that this team is better than 1-3, despite the injuries. And I think that they're going to be up for this game. The other thing that you can look at is that they're 4-0 under Peterson on Thursday night games since he became head coach in 2016. And one of the reasons he said was because we keep things simple. And maybe that's a note to the coaching staff moving forward of not overcomplicating the game plan. But his team has responded to him in a short week. So I do kind of like the Eagles a little bit here. Not because it necessarily makes sense logically, Mike, but, you know, just because they're desperate. You know, they need it.
Interestingly enough, Green Bay is undefeated at home on Thursday night. So Peterson's 4-0. So, you know, that's the taffy pull here.
Unstoppable force versus immovable object.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're right. It's a hard thing to turn around and play on Thursday night on the road. I mean, the numbers aren't great. The numbers are even worse when you're talking about going out of your time zone. The NFL has restricted the amount that teams are allowed to travel on Thursday night because of how unfair it is. So it's not an easy task. And I'm not suggesting that it's a slam dunk by any measure, but I do feel like Philly's going to be up for the fight.
All right, this is the last thought I'm going to send your way. If they lose this game at 1-3, there are all kinds of stats out there. Pro Football Focus has them a 21% chance to make the playoffs. The history says it's 14% to make the playoffs. If they lose this game, what are their playoff capabilities?
I don't think you have a head coach that's going to panic, and because he has his own experiences to lean on. When he was the OC in Kansas City, I believe there was a year they started out 1-5 and rallied to get into the postseason. That's one thing that they have working for them is a coach that's not going to waver. And also, they can still lean back on what is a talented team when healthy. Deshaun Jackson is hoping to get back on the field for week 5 against New York, and the offense can look a whole lot different, assuming that he's able to be even close to what he normally is. Obviously it puts them in a precarious spot, not one that anybody, I think, anticipated, but one that wouldn't eliminate them totally. But you don't want to get into that conversation. You know, 2-2 coming home to play the New York Jets is going to look a whole lot better. It's going to make people both inside and outside that building feel better about their chances of achieving something serious in the season. So that just makes it all the more important to take care of business here in Green Bay.
All right. Timmy, great stuff. Have a great cover tonight, and we'll talk to you.
All right. Sounds good, Mike. Thanks.
That's Tim McManus, and he's brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law. live from Green Bay, by the way. Power of justice. Accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. All right, we do have one line that's open. So if you want to grab it, it's 610-632-0975. Meanwhile, we'll go to Eric in Trenton. What's up, Eric?
What's up?
What's going on?
I get some sad news. Remember my male dog? I had to put him down 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
But I did go out and rescue a male bulldog.
Oh,
his name's Winston for now. He's a beast. I mean, he makes my other ones look small.
Oh,
I mean,
he's a massive
85, 90 pounds.
Wow.
He needs to lose some weight.
What do you feed him lettuce?
No, we just, you know, turn it down, get him some exercise, and we'll be good to go.
Is he a male bulldog?
Yeah.
Does he have those big flappers in back?
Yeah,
he does.
He's got a big old tail too.
All right.
Not in length. It's just, you know, it's like a bun. You know, like guy puts his hair up in a bun.
So you're a bulldog man.
But yeah, I wanted to get a boxer, but we happened to come across him, and you know, I don't like leaving my female home alone.
Yeah, I got you. All right, buddy. What do you think about tonight's game?
Well, I'm worried. I mean, Doug says he wants to run the ball, but he might run it a little bit in spurts, and then he gets away from it, and it goes downhill from there. What do you think?
Well, I think they can pull it off, but, you know, I am always, like, weighed down by logic, and I, on paper, the Packers should win this game. And the only reason they won't is because of the weirdness of the NFL that flows from week to week, and what I think the Eagles have going for them is the underdog mentality now where people are counting them out. I think that's a big motivator for them.
You know, we got the bags. He's on the rock. Feed Howard like everybody's been saying. And if we do that, and if we can control the time of the clock, Doug P's got an awesome record when we, you know, have the advantage on the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they should run the ball. From the
absolutely
jump, they should establish a little power running game. And then we're a little play action off of that. So I'm under center. We'll play action. And let's go.
That's the winning formula as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Eric. Got it, buddy. All right. You a bulldog man, Tyra?
No.
How about you, Nat?
I mean, they're fine. But I'm not as fanatic about them as everybody else
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting phenomenon. There are people that are fanatic about the bulldog. Why is that? Because they're funny looking?
Well, and now they have, like, those designer bulldogs that are just kind of trendy.
Yeah?
So they're breeding them, and they're like really expensive.
They always have nasal problems.
They have they have so many health problems, especially the ones that are specially bred.
They have torn ACLs and stuff.
Yeah,
and they have some face stuff issues sometimes too. Like fungus gets on their face.
What's the fungus?
They have some sort of face issue.
Well, because they have a lot of folds.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah,
it can
dirt
cause
gets
issues
in there.
Yeah, it can
bacteria
cause issues on the face.
What,
yeah, so you
what
have to,
was
like,
the breeding of the bulldog for?
I think to make them a little smaller.
Yeah, so the French bulldogs are very trendy, and if they're blue, they're worth, like, more money.
Yeah, but why was the what's the purpose of a bulldog? Like, to me, dogs are bred for certain purposes.
I think it's just appearances.
This was just a vanity project.
It was?
Yeah. It's kind of like
they don't really do anything.
I don't think so. I think they're small.
They root out and like
some people
worms
think they're
or
little,
something. Like,
some people think they're unsightly. But now, if you get them in a smaller package, you can show them doing their little skateboarding. You do your videos. You think it's
they're
so
very
cute.
Instagram friendly.
Yeah,
but they really don't have any purpose.
No, other than just
yeah,
to have an
Instagram.
I think they're good watchdogs.
They're cute.
They're good watchdogs. Yeah, they're good watchdogs.
Well, it's kind of like the
protective.
Those doodle dogs. Now, those things were bred to be those things. Those dogs were bred to be.
Nah, you're right.
Shed free, right?
Yeah.
And hypoallergenic.
Yeah.
But they're coming out now saying that those dogs also have a lot of issues because they're not they're not natural.
I just asked the question. I wasn't aware of it. Because normally dogs have a purpose. Like, my dog is bred to chase small game and root out small game.
I wonder what Ginger's purpose is.
Bulldogs, originally, I thought you were talking about these designer ones. That was just
I'm talking about like a regular bulldog with the mashed face.
Wow.
Like the heavy 90-pound bulldog with the little legs carrying all that weight. And that's why they get the ACL problems and the smashed face. Like, what was it bred for?
There are people who think they're very cute.
I think that's why. Like
bulldogs, they're so ugly, they're cute. That one of those deals.
I know people who love bulldogs. Like,
yeah,
one
a lot
bulldog
of people
dies,
love them.
Boom, another bulldog. Like, yeah. One in, one out for their whole lives.
Yeah, I think it's the they're so ugly, they're cute factor.
Well, I mean, but what was what were Chihuahuas bred for? Like My Little Angel. Protection?
To fit in a bag.
Bred to be little angels. That's a good question, but I'm going to look it up.
Chase
610-632-0975. They were bred to represent Taco Bell.
There you go.
All right. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it is 4:30. That's time for a Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,200 votes on this one. What percent chance do you give the Eagles tonight? 16% say 75% or more. 42% going 50 to 74. 29% say 26 to 49. 13% say 0 to 25. So 50 to 74 is in the lead.
All right. So but that's the majority.
Yes.
Say 50 or more.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're not convinced?
No.
No.
No, I'm not convinced. We are a swaggerless fan base right now. The Phillies.
Do you blame them? Yeah, after what the Phillies put the fan base through, and then this team comes out of the gate 1-2, and they lose at home to a lousy team. What do you blame the fans?
I don't. And you know what? The way they lost is a way that we're not necessarily used to, because if, let's say, that pass to Aguilar, he's wide open, and Carson misses him. We know how to process that. We don't know how to process it hitting in the hands of him dropping it. Same with the Goddard play. If Wentz just misses him, we can process that. We've seen five throw those worm balls. Used to talk about it. We can process it. The way they've lost, I think, is hard for our brains to wrap around, because it looks like they should have won the game in our minds, is what I mean.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it looks like the guy got open. The pass was there. Mm-hmm. Why didn't it happen? So I can see why it would throw us for a loop.
All right, but Washington leads 1-0 in this game. You're all crowing a couple seconds ago because Adam Haseley made another great catch at the wall.
He did.
You know, and that's all. It was a great catch. It's a good thing he didn't have to throw it anywhere.
So you don't have to do that.
At that point.
You go out of your way to down the guy. Oh,
I'm just saying.
I hope.
That's the type of plays I would expect him to make as the fourth outfielder.
20 when years
he comes
from,
in as a defensive replacer.
20 years from now when he goes to the Hall of Fame, I hope he talks about you. Old behind, because you'll be 20 years, you'll be old man.
You know what's a shame about that?
I'll be
dead. I'll be dead by then, and I won't be able to be called on that.
No,
he invites you there. You think, oh, he's being magnanimous. And instead, he calls you there just to be like Michael Jordan and call you out.
You're going to come
you're the problem.
The tombstone and give me a plaque, fake plaque, a fake bust.
Oh,
Kyle is driving to the game. He's Eagle fans representing Kyle.
Yo, yo, yo.
Kyle, where are you driving from?
All right, so here's the deal. I moved from South Jersey to South Florida 6 years ago, and I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio in April. Yes, 24 hours ago, I bought a ticket to the game, and I booked a hotel, and I'm literally pulling up to my hotel right now. I've been on the road 8 hours going to the game by myself.
Yeah, see, now that's a good pilgrimage. You live in Cincinnati, you might as well get there close, semi-close, go to the game. Yeah. I admire that, Kyle.
Here's the deal. Here's my thoughts on the night. I think that I like what you said about you never know what happens week to week in the NFL, and I think that it's going to be a weird game. I think there's going to be a couple of special teams or defensive scores going both ways. I think it's going to be a grind, and I like a late Jake Elliott field goal to steal it with less than a minute left. 31-28.
You like a little kicky boy to win it.
I do. I really do. You know what? 2 years ago when we won the Super Bowl, I know we're a different team then. You know, that kick against the Giants changed our whole season, I believe. It was unbelievable. And I like a nice Jake Elliott kick tonight to kind of
give us a little half a bye week off and beat the Jets next time.
You know, I like it. It would be a great ending. Now, people, I would get flooded on Twitter by people saying, see, Mike, a kicker's important. And I know, well, I get that, but I'll take that. I'll sign up for that if Jake Elliott wins it, last second field goal.
If people don't think kickers are important, I think Adam Vinatieri would have something to say about that.
Yeah, they're not important. They're necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously. Joe Bird.
All right, man. There he is. Kyle driving from Cincinnati. Oh, I wanted to ask him about what it's like to live in Cincinnati.
They call it the natty out there. I know a couple people who live, they call it the natty.
Is it called the...
Cincy, right?
No, they call it...
What's the nickname for that city?
Isn't Cincinnati known for pierogies?
Remember chili.
Oh, that's it.
Chili over pasta.
Right. Really?
Yeah. They put their chili over pasta.
Isn't that just like a meat
sauce?
You can't.
You have to be bothered by that.
Chili shops.
You got to be a little bothered by that, right? As an Italian man?
That's just a meat sauce, though.
I disregard Cincinnati as a city.
Okay.
No, wait.
So it doesn't resonate with me at all.
You can make this ruling, Mike. Once something goes over something, doesn't that make it a sauce?
But like a chili that goes on a chili dog over pasta is a little different than a meat sauce.
Yeah, they put it over pasta. That's the big thing in Cincinnati.
It's a meat and bean sauce.
Ask for it five ways. What's the chili? There's like a real famous chili. Yeah, there's many of them in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw it on Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives. They got cheese and they layer it up.
Yeah, they layer it. It's like five way.
Yeah, I don't know the name.
Yeah, it's
I'm looking
pasta.
It up.
By the way, for you bulldog people out there.
Yeah?
The bulldog was bred originally for bull baiting.
Wow.
The bull baiting was banned in 1835.
Wow. Back then.
So the bulldogs were bred for aggression. And for the fact that they could bring down a bull weighing close to a ton by corkscrewing its own body around the bull's neck and tossing the bull over its center of gravity.
What?
Now that is impressive.
That's what the bulldog was bred for.
What does that mean, corkscrew, though? How does it do that?
It twists its body. You got that low center of gravity. They get that body turning at a lower range. They're flipping over a whole bull.
That's right.
That's pretty impressive.
Like a judo flip.
Yeah.
An 80-pound dog could easily bring down a bull weighing close to a ton.
Now, you know, Natalie, if you were a judo expert, you could flip like Fletcher Cox over your shoulder with no problem.
That's true. I can.
Same kind of deal.
I can.
No, you could if you knew judo.
I keep my ninja skills hidden.
Yeah, now the Chihuahua, on the other hand, was bred to be a companion dog.
So that's nothing.
That's
fine.
That's it.
That's exactly what she is.
Okay.
So she serves her purpose. Yeah. Bulldogs don't serve their purposes anymore.
No, they're useless.
Right?
They can't bait a bull anymore.
Well, maybe they can flip something else, like an intruder.
There you go.
I think over the years, the brain has diluted to the fact where they don't know their purpose now.
No, they probably don't.
That's well over 100 years.
Yep. All right, let's go. Oh, he was right here in the building. He must have gone outside to call us. Where is he? It's right out there. Vicente and King of Prussia. He's out on the deck calling us.
Hola, amigo. Mike.
Hola, amigo. Hola. Vicente.
I'm here in the Hooters. I came.
See you out the window. Why don't you just yell your call, for crying out loud?
I just didn't want to interfere with the sound check, you know? I'm conscientious.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you for bringing the show over Kino Prussia, because it's 5 minutes away from the place I work.
Well, that's what we told management. We got to go to a place that's 5 minutes away from Vicente so he can show up.
Definitely. And second, I want to thank the management, especially the vice president and market manager, Mr. Joe Bell, who deservedly so won the Radio Insight Award in Dallas.
That is correct. Our station general manager won the market manager of the year by Radio Inc. Yes, so congratulations to Yo Bell.
Yes, Mr. Yo Bell.
That's correct. Mr. Yo Bell.
Yes. Now, I'm all in the Eagles wearing up festive mood because I'm optimism. You know, I know that the Eagles are going to pull through and turn things around tonight at Green Bay. You know why?
Why is that?
Because they're going to be pressuring Aaron Rodgers. Tonight,
they're going to pressure Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, Aaron Rodgers.
Let me ask you a question. I'm looking at you through the window. What's the Hawaiian lay about?
Oh, okay. Because it's my country.
Explain that there. You got a Hawaiian lay on.
Outside, there is palm trees. and canoes and, you know, the roof made out of toquilla paja, you know. So it's appropriate, you know.
Okay, I just didn't get it. Now I totally understand. So,
but
you got your Eagle sweatshirt on.
Yes, because the Eagles are going to win tonight.
I like it. You're feeling good about it?
I have my Eagle ring.
All right, so you're going to put the Ecuadorian good wishes on it.
Definitely. Listen,
yes.
The key is to pressure Aaron Rodgers. And tonight is a perfect time for either Derek Barnett, Fletcher Cox, or Brandon Graham to get their first sack on the season.
I agree with you, and I actually think that's going to happen. I do smell a sack tonight.
And also, at some point, you know, Carson Wentz is going to have a target, Jeffrey and Tucker or Aguilar. You know, also Jeffrey coming over to save the day.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Well, listen, we'll see you.
See you later.
We'll see you in like three steps through the door. Thanks, bud. There he is. We sent.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Vicente showed up in his business clothes. I almost didn't recognize him. Then he changed into like his Eagle mode.
He's got like a fake Super Bowl ring.
It's huge.
I know.
It's a two finger ring.
Where did you get that?
Can't tell you.
Oh, it's a secret.
I can't reveal his secrets.
You can't tell me.
Inside information.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, boy.
Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. It is Mike Mussinelli Show. We're live. We're at Hooters, King of Prussia. Stop on by. Eagles tonight. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Oh, we're back at Hooters Gate, Prussia. You know, I'll be up to my eyeballs in two Sundays.
What you got going on?
Pierogies.
Oh.
Yep. You get the big pierogi tailgate thing that's happening. So if you want to win $500, Visa gift card $500, and a year supply of Mrs. T's Pierogies, Mrs. T's Pierogies is hosting the big Mrs. T's Pierogies tailgate showdown with me, Mark Farzada, and Anthony Gargano.
That's pretty cool.
See, it just, you know, this is a great event. But I'm just saying that that Madeline Dean, who was my law school classmate, was in on that that commission hearing.
Really?
You know, recently on Paul Mueller. I'm not Paul Mueller.
Robert
Mueller.
Yeah.
And here I am in pierogies.
Look at you.
Next Sunday.
Somebody has to do it, Mike. It might as well be you.
Exactly. Yeah. So three finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for the grand prize. So just go to 975fanatic.com to enter your recipe. Hey, Madeline, I'm judging pierogies. The contest entry period ends on September 30th. Three finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for the best winning recipe. Great chance to win the grand prize. I'm looking forward to that. Actually,
I'm gonna try and stop by.
I'm gonna make my
shell is like.
You know, I love pierogies.
My wife's aunt to enter because she takes great pride in her pierogies.
Who, Aunt Joyce?
No, Aunt Teresa.
Oh, Aunt Teresa. Okay.
She takes her pierogies very seriously. She should enter.
She should. She better get it in by September 30th, though.
She can whip them up quick.
All right. So if you want to attend the event, just go to the contest page, and you can enter to win an invitation to the event. I'm looking at, we talked about the one-hit wonders a little earlier, just to take a break here from the Eagles' intensity. How about Tainted Love?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Soft Cell.
Uh-huh.
Right?
The 80s, I think, is riddled with
it. It is.
Totally.
The 80s. Yes.
Or Take On Me by Aha.
Now, that's a song that doesn't bother me.
No,
I like that song. I wish I could hit that high note. My whole life would be different.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, the Phillies down 2-0.
Oh, they're down 2-0.
Vargas gave up a solo home run.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Because why wouldn't he?
Well, they're facing Strasburg today. I'm not thinking they're going to get a lot of action.
They were the biggest underdog in baseball today.
Yeah, minus two something?
270.
Minus 270?
Yes.
You know what's great about yesterday? Everybody's like Smiley struck out 10 guys that were hungover.
They all right there.
No, all of a sudden, Sandy Koufax. They drank champagne into the wee hours of the morning.
Celebrate, yeah.
Ian in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
How you guys doing?
What's going on, Ian?
I'm pretty confident in this game. I think the Eagles are going to pull it out with a late field goal. They've shown, even though we have a lot of drops, they've shown they can get the ball moving with drives. And even though a lot of people are worried how healthy is Jeffrey, you really don't need him on the field the whole game, because in those big situations that guys have come up short for us, you throw the ball to Jeffrey on a third and six, he's probably going to back up and get to the chain. And then in the end zone, the touchdowns that you saw to Matt Collins that he dropped last week, you throw the ball to Jeffrey, it's a touchdown.
Listen, he's going to definitely help them. Now, again, they're saying that they're going to have him on some kind of a pitch count. So I don't know how many downs he actually plays coming back from the injury, but his presence helps him. I just wish Deshaun's presence helps him more, because he opens the field so much more.
If he was there, I mean, it would be, everybody I think would be guaranteed, pretty much, at least for Philadelphia, if the Eagles would win.
Yeah.
But I think even with Jeffrey just on the field, part of the plays, the presence he has to command, that's where, all right, you do some of your play actions, see if you can get Earth over the middle, or we got to run the ball with Howard. You have to use that bully back and just power them down and wear them down and then look for your options.
I totally agree with you. And again, like, you know, these coaches know what the fan base is saying, right? And sometimes I think the coaches go the opposite way, like, screw the fans. I'm going to do the opposite of what the fans want. You know, they don't know football. I know football.
Yeah, it seems like that sometimes, but they just got to listen for it. I mean, even maybe the Packers are going to, all right, if they have Howard in the game, let's sit on it. Well, that's when you know Wentz, as the leader, needs to look at the line and call his play, and if he needs to throw it at the line, throw it at the line and make a better option.
Yep. I agree with you. Yeah, well, listen, that's why those stats that we gave a little earlier play right into the Eagles running the ball. The Packers really don't stop it that much.
They do. And, I mean, I don't want to see real Sanders on the field unless it's for a pass play. I'd rather it be Howard ran all day.
All right. Yeah, Miles Sanders, people are now bailing on Miles.
Can't go that far.
Poor Miles.
This week, though, Mike, like Tim said, it might be a veteran day. I would like to see Sproles again. You warned us about it with all them touches in week one.
I said, 20 touches is too much.
What are you talking about, Mike? And the production, 20.
I go, okay. Well, it's just that you overuse a guy and then you can't use him. It's just stupid coaching.
It would be good, though, if he can catch, let's say he catches four passes. That could change the whole game, Sproles.
Exactly. All right. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. The big 5 o'clock hour. As we zero in on what's going to happen tonight in a huge game for the Eagles at Lambeau Field. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. This show is live today. A rare appearance outside the studio. We're at Hooters, King of Prussia. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.